On Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to today's episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And as always, thank you for making Locked On Canucks your first listen of the day. My name is Nick Bondi. I'm joined as always by my brilliant co-host, Lachlan Irvin, a brand new writer for Canucks Army. So congrats again to that. We've said that pretty much a lot this week. But you know what, Lachlan? There's a lot of things to talk about from last night's game, and none of them particularly good, I would say. Not many bright spots.
Nope. It was a mess from, not from beginning to end. The Canucks looked okay at the beginning. Things were kind of, they were off to an okay start. And then it just, the wheels completely came off against the undefeated Buffalo Sabres. And yeah, I'm sure, you know, I've seen, obviously people are like thinking that that's, you know, it's not a huge deal. But I mean, just from the way that they lost this game, I'm very, very concerned. I'm suddenly very concerned about this team.
Yeah. So we will talk about on today's episode, the last night's 5-2 loss to the Buffalo Sabres, the 1-2-1 record of the Vancouver Canucks right now after 4 games. Is it time to panic? Is it time to press the panic button? Some panic button talk, as always, like to talk about. And I'll end the show with some discussion on Travis Green, because I'm seeing a lot of conversation online about the Vancouver Canucks coach, and is he the right fit? We'll discuss that, and we'll give our thoughts on that. But last night's game, I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably aware of what happened by now. It was a brutal, brutal, brutal loss. On our show notes, I have the words blank embarrassing, and that first word rhymes with ducking. So you can, it's usually auto-corrected on your phone as ducking. So you can imagine what our thoughts are on this game last night.
It was canucking embarrassing.
That's what usually auto-corrects on my phone. Canucking. Yeah, you're right. But you mentioned it, Lachlan. The Canucks were up 2-1 after the first period. They got outshot, but they were up 2-1, and it was looking like, you know what? Maybe they can get a point out of this game. They're in good shape heading into the second period, and they buckled in the second period, and the wheels just completely fell off in the third period. Like you mentioned, we have a stat here from, I guess we'd call him friend of the show as well, Jeff Patterson. He went on my podcast previously. 0 shot attempts through 40 minutes in that game for Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, or Connor Garland. Not a good night for the top guys. A lot of defensive mistakes. The one that really sticks out to me, and I'm sure you have yours, Lachlan, is that second goal, the tying goal from the Buffalo Sabres right after that 4-minute power play. Zemgus Girgensons, who I was thinking about this last night. Zemgus Girgensons, is there a player who has been in a worse situation his entire career than Zemgus Girgensons?
His name is Jack Eichel.
Well, no. Girgensons was there before Eichel. He was there when they were trying to tank for McDavid. He stuck around through all the lean Eichel years, and now he's stuck on a team again that's trying to tank again. Like, this man has not had any semblance of sniff of the playoffs for his entire career with Buffalo. But you know what? He was left literally wide open in front for a tip. No chance for Thatcher Demko. Brad Hunt. I don't want to see Brad Hunt again in a Canucks uniform. I'm already done with this guy after one game. He looked terrible. Same with Luke Shen. I know Luke Shen has his defenders on Twitter. They love his hits and everything. Dude, this guy is a liability defensively. That's why on a team, like a good team, like a Tampa Bay Lightning, he's like a 7th defenseman. He should not be playing regular top 6 minutes for your team. And if he is, he should be in a very sheltered role. But the Canucks obviously didn't have that luxury last night with Quinn Hughes. Overall, Lachlan, just a miserable performance last night against a Buffalo Sabres team. And I know we talked about it on last episode. They're 2-0. They've looked good. But if you are a playoff team like the Vancouver Canucks, if you have aspirations to be a playoff team like the Vancouver Canucks have, they've said it, and all the moves they've done in this offseason have leaned towards the fact that they think they're a playoff team. They're all in on this team. You need to be getting points against the Buffalo Sabres. You need to be getting 2 points. And if you have a bad night, you should be grinding out at least 1 point, but they didn't either.
Yeah, look, I've seen so many people trying to really, like, already doing the whole, oh, it's only been four games. Everyone needs to calm down. They're on this historically long road trip. First of all, I don't think it's that historic. I think the Canucks the
Islanders have a 13-game road trip to start the season.
Yeah. Yep, and they're winning games during it, so that's not an excuse. And more importantly, it's again, it's not actually in a way, it's not about how they're winning and losing right now. It's not about the fact that they are winning and losing. It's about how right now, like the fact that they are like 1-2-1 is a fine metric. If they were competitive in all of those games, if they were clearly the better team in all of those games, if they're playing at the top of their level. Last night was a very winnable game against a team that is buoyed a little bit by a couple early wins against a not nearly as good as last year Montreal Canadiens team in their first game, and the also tanking Coyotes in their second. The Sabres are not. You should not, under no circumstances, should you be getting outshot by the Buffalo Sabres. Like, no. That full stop.
That's
you should not. As if you're a playoff team, or at least you believe you're a playoff team like the Vancouver Canucks do, getting outshot by the Buffalo Sabres and getting completely out-hustled in every aspect of the ice for the final 40 minutes is unacceptable. You cannot win games like that. You will not go anywhere in the playoffs with that kind of effort. And, you know, it is funny because in the last episode, you and I talked about how we thought the defense had looked really good so far.
That's like, a big time jinx. Okay. That was a big time mush by us.
That was a big time jinx because holy cow. First of all, Quinn Hughes didn't play. So that was
And that's an important caveat to this game, but also an indictment of this team that Quinn Hughes cannot play. And you know, they immediately revert to a defensive performance like that.
Yeah. Championship teams, when they lose an important player, it hurts for sure. But they have the people behind them to pick up the slack in those times of crisis, right? They have enough talent to go around that it will hurt. It will definitely make things a little tougher, but they can stay afloat. For the Canucks to lose Quinn Hughes and then immediately watch the defense completely cave in against Buffalo is such it's a huge indictment on the fact that the Canucks can't ice a defensive lineup without Quinn Hughes. It doesn't seem like they can. They have Jack Rathbone, OEL, and question marks all across your right side. All of them. And even Rathbone and OEL didn't look particularly
good. No one looked good on the defense last night. Like, no one
defense
escapes blame.
Was awful. The only one who escapes blame is Kyle Burrows because he didn't play. Yeah. And which I thought was a weird call.
Yeah. And we'll get into that coaching decision later in the episode. But I've seen a lot of people online, Lock, and I want to push back with it. I see a lot of people online saying they didn't get any points against they're lumping into the Detroit game and last night's game. And I have an issue with that because I think in that Saturday game against Detroit, they actually played pretty well. And they deserve something out of that game. But they got goalied. We talked about it last episode. You're gonna get goalied a handful of times through the season, right? Like it's going to happen. They played well, especially in that third period. They played well in that game to get at least something out of that game, whether that, you know, that's a loser point or what have you. People are lumping into the Detroit game with yesterday's game. And that's kind of an issue I have is they actually, I thought, played pretty well against Detroit. Last night's game, however, is a totally different story. Like they just got absolutely outclassed by the Buffalo goddamn Sabres. And that is cause for concern. And all the goals, all the second goal, the third goal, the fourth goal, especially, they're all plays where someone's left wide open in front because of a blown defensive assignment. And Thatcher Demko has no chance, and it's in the back of the net. Jeff Skinner, the man who probably has the worst. We joked about Louis Erickson. We joke as Canucks fans about Louis Erickson having a terrible deal. He only has 1 year left on his deal. Jeff Skinner has, what, like 6 years left at $8 million per, and he's scoring like five goals a season. And you're letting that guy score on you?
I will say that I kind of disagree on the, I do actually think lumping the Detroit game is fair because even I thought like I said on the last show, I think that you got half the team played very well in that game, but the other half didn't. And the other half was not giving them enough help in that game against Detroit. And that's part of the reason why they lost. Like the shot metrics don't tell the full story of what the quality of those shots were for them a lot of the time, what kind of actual how many players were actually getting in on the action on that play and making things more easy. easy for the rest of the group. And also the Red Wings aren't good. Like, they're not a good hockey team. And Thomas Greiss, by the way, is supposed to be their backup goaltender. He's not even supposed to be their like starter. That's Alex Nedeljkovic now.
Any goalie is liable to have a really good game.
I fully agree on that, but it's still one of those cases where it's like, if you're a Canucks team, you can't be losing 2-1 games to a Detroit team that's still like mid full rebuild and missing Dylan Larkin, by the way. They didn't have their captain. So, and in this game, it's even worse because they don't have Jack Eichel and they're already even worse to begin with. And they lost. And now you're going into a situation where you are going to play Chicago. You're playing Chicago, who is arguably one of the few teams doing worse than the Canucks right now. They are very down bad. And now you're in a situation where there's so much pressure to win that game if you're Vancouver now because of how these last few games have gone, because you can't show up. You cannot come out of this road trip having lost three games against very clearly inferior opponents. Like, it's just not acceptable.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the Canucks bounce back against Chicago tomorrow night. Like you said, maybe even we see a new coach behind the Chicago bench. Like, it's been that bad for Chicago to start the season, right? Like, that's a very real possibility. Last night, I think one thing that stood out is the special teams for the Vancouver Canucks, both the power play and the penalty kill. And I tweeted this last night. The thing that stands out to me the most about the Vancouver Canucks this season, the thing that concerns me, I think, the most about this team, out of all the issues they've shown really early in the season, the special teams stands out to me the most. All right, like, teams are on the penalty kill, teams are just snapping it around like it's no problem. Like, they're the prime Tampa Bay. Like, you saw it in Buffalo last night. You saw it in Detroit the night before. We got Harlem Globetrottered last night by the Buffalo Sabres. They're just snapping it around like it's not a problem. Like, they're like the late 90s, early 2000s Red Wings. And yeah, the power play, especially on these zones, someone's got to rework these zone entries, because they're either so predictable or we're so bad at executing them that we can't get a simple setup in the offensive zone, especially on power play one. Like, out of all the issues that the Vancouver Canucks have shown this season, that to me is the biggest one, and one needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, is the special teams.
Fully agree. That's the kind of thing that, again, that wins or that's what you makes the difference between winning and losing a hockey game, is your ability to capitalize on the power play opportunities that you get and not be able to keep the opportunities they get out of your own net. And yeah, the penalty kill looked stagnant as always. Like, it never really changes. They just kind of sit there and hope for the best kind of thing. They're not really, I always feel like the odds on that puck going in with the penalty kill is higher than it is that they're going to keep
our
it
best
out.
Penalty killer last night was Thatcher Demko.
Yes.
Like, they killed off that 4-minute power play, but that wasn't from a lack of chances from Buffalo. Like, Buffalo had 4-minute power play. Thatcher Demko was just, you know, seeing everything
good,
getting, you know, working his way through screens and stopping those pucks. And they scored obviously immediately after, and the wheels pretty much fell off right there. But the penalty kill is a big issue for me.
Yeah. And then with the power play, like I've said before, it's been the same power play for the last 5 years or more, maybe. It hasn't changed. It's so clear what they're going to do every time they get into the offensive zone. When they do, sometimes it gets broken up right at the blue line because they really are struggling to ever gain zone entry. And that's such a huge red flag in terms of like how successful your power play can be if the defense other team knows exactly what to do to keep you from even entering the zone. Like, that's a huge problem. And yeah, they get in there, they just pass the puck, they try and pass the puck around. It's too easy to telegraph exactly where the passes are going. The Sabres penalty kill was mobile and making sure to get into passing lanes and doing their best to break things up. And yeah, they just did that power. I don't know. I honestly don't know what to do, what they do to fix that power play at this point, other than like, it literally is just a case of, hey, you have to shoot sometime. You have to shoot more. Like,
you make a good point. Even when they set up in the offensive zone, it looks very stagnant. Like, it's a lot of passing around the point and then, you know, maybe throw something on net, or, you know, they very rarely work it down low. That's one thing I noticed last night.
Yeah, no, they never go down low. And I think I've said in the show before, they never try the pass out into the middle, right in the front, in the hash marks, like right under the hash marks, like that danger spot right in front of the net where a lot of teams make their power play go. Like, and that's the hardest place for a goalie to take a shot. Like, as a former goalie myself, well, I guess I still play technically, I've never played at that level, but you know, I loved it when teams would take heart, like when they would just let the defensemen just rain pucks in on power plays and stuff. I loved it when they let me have that kind of time and space, even with a screen. That's fine. I can worry. I can deal with that. No problem. It's when they start putting parking players right out in front of the net. Not along the corners. I can cover the corner pretty well. It's out in front of the net, like right in front by the faceoff circles, where I'm going to have the most trouble, because it's hardest for me to pick up, to not only cover more net, but also to worry about potential rebounds popping out in front. So if you're not getting any player, if you're not putting a player there, you're not doing enough.
Yeah, it's the special teams in general are a big concern. One of the reasons we may or may not be pressing the panic button already on the Vancouver Canucks season, we'll get into if we are or not in just a second. But first, a word from our friends at Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something truly for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. They've got great flavors like coconut, cherry barcia, mint brownie. I'm a big classic flavor guy. I like the strawberry, orange, cookies and cream. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, don't worry. You can get a mix box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but guess what? They're healthy for you too. They have 17, 18 grams of protein in each bar, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. So Lachlan, we introduced the panic button talk on this podcast over the Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes contract negotiations, which seems like a lifetime ago after a loss like last night. But we never got to a point in the Elias Pettersson Quinn Hughes deals where I was, you know, even close to pushing the panic button. But after a 1-2-1 record after last night, I have to admit the panic button is on the desk and it's within reach. I did not think the panic button would be this close to being pressed 4 games early in the season, but it's getting dangerously close, right? Like, uncomfortably close this early in the season. Let's just go over it. Like, good news, Brock Besser is back. That's always nice. It's nice to have him back. Unfortunately,
How do you think he did in his first game?
I thought he did all right. I thought there was a couple moments where Brock Besser is not a burner. He's not like a super fast guy, but he's good on the puck. He's good on winning puck battles along the boards. And he's one of the few shooters in the league who can beat a goalie like clean with no screen. That's Brock Besser's strengths. And I thought he played all right. There was a couple, like, no one played particularly well last night, but I thought he was okay for moments. So Brock Besser's back. Unfortunately, it's at the expense of my boy, Nick Batan, had to be waived last night. And hey, is it just a coincidence that the Vancouver Canucks get pummeled by the Buffalo Sabres the day they waive Nick Batan off the roster? You tell
he
me.
He was the glue
know.
holding yeah, the locker
maybe.
Room together.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. But and that's how bad the loss was last night. We didn't lead with the fact that Nick Batan got waived. That's how bad that loss was last night. But the bad news so far this season is, we mentioned the special teams. They look terrible. They lost to Buffalo. I can't get up. We have to emphasize again. They lost to Buffalo. It's not looking good, Lachlan. So for me, the panic button, it's on my desk. It's within reach. I can reach it and press it if I want to, but I'm holding off because it is still four games in the season. I want to see how they do these next two games against Chicago and Seattle. If they lose both games, then you know what? Full on, press the panic button if you want heading on to the home opener. I still think it's still four games into the season, a lot of hockey to be played. I want to see how they do the next two games. If this game against Buffalo was an aberration, or if they lose these next two games or don't play particularly well, then there's something bigger going on.
Yeah, I think the panic button's right about the same place for me. I think the panic button might get hit the second they lose, if they lose to Chicago. Because again, it's another case of a team that you absolutely should beat because they are not very good. They're not good. And yeah, like, I mean, if someone is getting close to pressing the panic button, it's probably Canucks ownership and management, simply because of the fact that, look, the BC government said, I think just yesterday they came out with the mandate with the,
yes,
the
home opener is going to have 100% capacity for home opening. So home opener.
And honestly, if you're Vancouver right now, based on the way the team's playing, you're probably wishing a little bit that they had kept that mandate because it'd be easier to claim you have a sellout. You have a sellout coming because I don't think right now. I think I find it hard to imagine people are going to show up to buy a bunch of tickets to watch this team right
really?
Now.
This is the first like live hockey game for a lot of people. How many months? Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people are going to go regardless. Now the games after that, I don't know.
The game after that. Yeah.
That may be the game to worry about if you're selling tickets
also,
for the Canucks.
And also Minnesota, like, eh.
Hey, they got Kaprizov. They got a good team this year.
They do have Kaprizov. They're actually somewhat interesting now. It's hard to look at this team as, having a successful go when you start like this, having a successful season, and it's cause it sets the tone, right? It's all about how you getting off on the right foot. And so far this game in particular, really puts a foul taste in your mouth. I liked Brock. I will say Brock Besser, I thought did okay. There were a couple of ways where I was like, oh, if he's in full health, like in terms of like if he isn't just coming off of injury, he would get. I think he might have made.
Yeah,
a better,
there was that one chance off choice. The rush that he kind of flubbed the shot, and it wasn't looking too good. Yeah.
There was one, and then there was I think one where Jack Rathbone took the initial shot, the rebound popped out to Brock, and he whiffs on the rebound, and again I'm like, oh, okay, if he's more back to normal and this isn't his first game of the year, he probably connects and that goes in. But overall, I thought he did quite well. I will say, I think that, like you mentioned, I think the game against Chicago on Thursday, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure tomorrow, is that I think one of those teams, whichever team comes out of that game without the 2 points, I think is going to be looking at their team in a very different way the next day. I think there's going to be a lot of, there might be a lot of fireworks that come out of whatever that result is.
Is that you being an insider, Lachlan, or you're a big J journalist, but not a capital J journalist yet.
No, yeah, I don't have intel. God, no. I wish someday.
So, Lachlan, I think we're both in agreement that we're not pressing the panic button yet. Okay, it's still four games into the season, but we need to see more from this team. We both agree. I think the panic button again. If you're watching the video. Episode of this podcast on YouTube. The podcast is on my the panic button. Sorry, is on my desk right now. I am within touching distance. I can just smash that thing if I want to. But we're not pressing it just yet. Is that game against Chicago tomorrow night, 5 o'clock local time start? Is that already a must win game? A fifth game in the season. Is it already must win for you?
Yes, 100%, because of the fact that, again, literally, I don't know if anyone here has watched any of the games the Blackhawks have played. They have been a mess. They have been an absolute
mess.
They
start the game and they don't look prepared.
Yeah, they look like a complete disaster at every step of the way. And I'm not even talking about the front office being terrible at doing things correctly. Yeah. That whole team is in a lot worse of a situation right now than the Canucks should be. So if you walk in there and they beat you, it doesn't matter if it's your fifth road game in a row. It simply doesn't. You something's wrong, because you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. I mean, again, the Hawks played their home opener yesterday and got booed off the ice after. Like, that's how bad it's going there.
You love to see
They're not even selling out games. Like, you just can't. You can't lose that game by any circumstance. Can you lose, like, to Chicago?
Yeah, and it's a tough situation for the Canucks, especially these must-win games, because this is a situation where you've got a game in the Eastern time zone in Buffalo, then you got to travel to Chicago, a game in a Central time zone, and then you got to go to Seattle on Saturday. Not only the first ever home game for Seattle, so the team's going to be, you know, pumped and jacked for that, but it's also in the Pacific time zone. So three games and three different time zones in the span of, you know, 4 days for the Vancouver Canucks. It's not going to be an easy stretch by any imagination, but the game against Chicago tomorrow night is as close to a must-win as you can get in a fifth game of the regular season as you will ever see in with the Canucks in recent times. Like, it is that crucial that you get points out of that game, preferably 2 points, because if you lose that game, then I think I'm with you. I'm almost ready to push the panic button. Maybe I'm just a bit more conservative. Maybe I'll wait until after the Seattle game and see what happens. But that game against Chicago, I agree, is as close to a must-win for the fifth game as you're going to get. One guy who has not escaped scrutiny, I think, online is Travis Green. A lot of people questioning Travis Green's ability to coach this hockey team. If you think he's going to be the first head coach fired this NHL season, I'm sure you can find the odds for that on our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball, football, and hockey action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay, Lachlan, Travis Green, a lot of people online are, you know, questioning if Travis Green is the right head coach for the Vancouver Canucks. He obviously just signed a contract extension last April, pretty much right after the season started. He was left twisting in the wind pretty much that whole bubble season. He got a new contract. He is the head coach that Jim Benning and ownership and management seem to really trust, but there's a lot of people questioning if Travis Green is the head coach that can take this team to, you know, where a lot of people think they should be going. First off, for Travis Green, he's not the guy. He can only coach the players that are on the ice for him or available to him. That defense last night, I struggle to find a head coach who could make that defense last night look competent. Like, it was that bad. It had a lot of guys, like a guy like a Brad Hunt. I hate to harp on Brad Hunt, but he looked awful last night. And that's a coaching decision right there. Like, there's a few decisions by Travis Green, a few coaching decisions that I think could be placed on him. First off, Kyle Burrow should not have been scratched last night. He is clearly a better defensive option than the guy like a Brad Hunt or a Luke Shen on that right side. I think Kyle Burrow's deserves to be a regular on this team, just how he played those first few games with Jack Rathbone. The special teams, that's a coaching thing. The penalty kill, the power play that we talked about earlier episode, all those things have not been up to snuff this season. All those things need to be better. And you know what? That is on coaching. I think you can blame the coaching staff for that, for, you know, the stagnant zone entries on the power play, the fact that I don't think they're nearly aggressive enough on the penalty kill against some of these teams. Again, Detroit and Buffalo were just snapping the puck around on the penalty kill against the Canucks like it wasn't a problem. There's launching bombs from Victor Olofsson. It's like, come on, this is Buffalo. We got to have a better penalty kill against the Sabres than this. And I think another thing is we didn't see a lotto line last night until later in the third period, well after the Sabres scored 2 goals. Like, the lotto line, I think it should be playing from the start. in the next game against Chicago. But at the very least, if you want to split up the lotto line and you want to put them back together, that should be, as soon as you were down in the game, reunite the lotto line. Because that line last night against Buffalo, as soon as they were reunited, they had a great shift in the offensive zone. They have chemistry. They showed in the past that they can be, you know, one of the top driving offensive lines in the NHL. That's another coaching decision on my end. You got to reunite the lotto line full time, or if you, whatever reason,
or at the very least, don't put Miller in the third center. Just put him on the second line.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a fan of JT Miller's puck management. I don't think he has the puck management skills necessary to play third line center full time. And that's another thing about JT Miller. Last night, you know, on the, I think it was the third goal, he completely gives up on a defensive play and then is screaming and yelling, getting all upset. Like, man, that's your fault. That's your fault for a blown assignment. You're going to yell and scream and be all upset after you blow a defensive assignment. Like, come on, man. Like, that's enough. And sorry, that's not coaching. I just have to get that off my chest about JT Miller. But Lachlan, you know what? Like, I always say, I'll end it with this and I'll let you have your thoughts on Travis Green. I always say this, not only just in hockey, but in coaches in general, it's easy to fire the guy. But who's going to replace Travis Green is the real question. So it's easy to say, hey, Travis, you're done. But who are you replacing him that's going to be better? That's always the real question. You see across all sports, see this all the time. A team will fire a coach just because they feel like they need to make a change. They bring in another coach and they realize, oh, actually, this guy is probably not as good as the other guy. And he's about the same or he's probably worse, right?
Yeah, here's what I'll say, like you said, I when it comes to the coaching side of things, like I look at this roster and they have obviously their positives and everything, but I said this a lot last season as well when there was a lot of talk about Travis Green's future with the Canucks, is if you build a time machine, you go back in time and you grab prime Scotty Bowman, like in his absolute peak at best coaching years, pull him into today's NHL. He somehow knows all the intricacies of playing hockey in 2021, even though we're bringing him in from, like, I don't know, the 80s or something, or like the 90s. He's perfect at it. I think he maybe got out of last year's group. I said, I think he maybe gets maybe two extra wins out of them. That's it. Like, you don't get a lot more because it's not, there's only so much a coach can do with what they're given. Which is why I'll say this right now. If you want to have the conversation about Travis Green and where, if you feel he's the right coach, whether or not he's the right coach for this team, I'm open to having that conversation when there's a different GM in charge. I don't think that there is anything that Travis Green can do to fix the fact that the Canucks do not have good. Have a well-rounded management team above him. And at the end of the day, they're the ones giving him the players. They're the ones giving him the roster that he has to do most, more or less. He can do, you know, he can have his input, but most of the personnel decisions are being made by the people above him. And right now, it's not, and it hasn't been good enough. They've been in charge for 8 years, and the team is still just in the same spot it was not that long ago. And I, you know, they definitely have some improvements, obviously, like guys like Pettersson and Hughes and Besser, but those are guys you should hit on regardless. Like, those are the kinds of players that you should be landing no matter who's in charge, because they're first rounders. And yet they haven't constructed a proper solid roster around them. They still don't really have a good bottom six. They still don't have half a defense. And I just look at this team and I'm like, well, you know what? Like, nothing's changing until somebody else takes over making the trades and making the signings and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly like a couple of waiver claims completely decimated the Canucks depth again. And suddenly it looked awful again. And like, it's also the fact of, like, whenever a coach gets fired, it's usually a GM getting another like lifeline kind of thing of like, all right, this is your decision kind of thing. In my opinion, Jim Benning hasn't earned the opportunity, hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt to try and scapegoat Travis Green for his mess and getting to try it again with another coach. I do not think he gets to try it with a third coach. If you want to talk about Travis Green's future, let's do it when somebody else is in charge.
No, I agree. Like, Jim Benning's been here for 7.5 years. He's hired 2 head coaches. I think, you know, if there is going to be a change, it has to be with a new management team in place to make that decision, right? Like, you very rarely get to see a GM hire 3 head coaches. That's just something we don't see in the National Hockey League. And again, I'll say it again. It's easy to fire the guy. Who is going to replace him? That's the real question. Like out there right now, if you fire Travis Green tomorrow, who's replacing him that's better? I don't know.
There's no
last season, I would have said maybe someone like a Gerard Gallant, but obviously he's in New York, so that's not an option. So if you fire him tomorrow, who's replacing him that's going to get more out of this team? That's what I want to know. And if you can't think of anyone right off the bat, if you don't have a name like that you know is going to get plugged in and get more out of this team and get them where they need to be, then it's better to keep the guy. Because too often, teams fire their coaches, and then they realize, you know, again, another snap of the finger, it's 2 years later, like, oh, we probably shouldn't have fired that guy. This guy's not any better. And then you get into the coaching carousel, you're spinning your wheels, and no one wants to be there with the Vancouver Canucks.
It would be basically the Canucks once again admitting they don't have a plan if they fired Travis Green midway through the year, which is something that they've often been accused of, this management group has been often accused of not having any sort of actual clear plan of what they're doing. So they would basically be admitting that right out of the gate if they did something like that. Yeah, there's no heir to the throne kind of thing here, right? Like, sometimes teams have like that guy who, you know, oh, this guy is clearly like primed to be the next head coach of this team. Like, he's clearly like, they're clearly like developing him to be that guy. The Canucks don't have that. I don't think Trent Cull is that guy. Like, I don't think I've never heard Trent Cull talked about in like this idea of like, you know, he would be the only considered, I guess, option right now as the coach of the Abbotsford Canucks. I don't see them going that direction. So yeah, what do you do essentially? It'd be a huge, the mess that you would cause from doing something like that is like not worth it. I get that he's not Travis Green the greatest coach of all time? No, he clearly has his flaws. He clearly has some things that he does not, that he doesn't do well, but he also has things he does do well. I don't think any sort of coaching decisions that he makes really make a huge difference based on the roster that he's been given.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Travis Green has not escaped blame for the start. We're not, you know, getting paid by Travis Green to defend his honor on this show. There are still things I think he can improve on. Like we mentioned, Kyle Burrows needs to be in the lineup. I don't want to see Brad Hunt again. Special teams need to be fixed. That's a coaching thing. That's a practice thing. That's working on your zone entries, mixing it up. That's on the penalty kill, working and practicing on that as well. And reuniting a lot of line. That's 3 things Travis Green can do right there, I think. That's on coaching. But to say that Travis Green is, you know,
the main problem.
Yeah. Is
ignoring the bigger picture. It's ignoring the bigger picture.
It is very much ignoring the bigger picture if you want to make a head coach change for the sake of making a change, because there are issues with this team. And we mentioned it, you know, on earlier episodes previewing the season. The defense was, right side especially, was going to be the Achilles heel of this team. And if they could make that right side work, then they could be a playoff team. We saw last night, I think, what happens when the Canucks don't make it work. They get embarrassed by the goddamn Buffalo Sabres. I'm still struggling to say that, but that has it for today's episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, thank you for making Locked On Canucks your first listen of the day. Now make sure your second listen of the day is Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Canucks. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Locked On Canucks as well. Full video episodes there every day. My name is Nick Bondi. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick Bondi. You can follow Lachlan Irvin at Lock and Crease. Lachlan, where can people find your writing?
You can find me on Twitter at Lock the Crease, and you can find my writing at CanucksArmy.com and LockInTheCrease.com.
Yeah, you're
also check out my other podcast, the Crease Cast, as well.
Yeah, we'll plug that as well. And Lachlan, the Big J journalist on CanucksArmy.com. I'll never get tired of saying that as long as I'm on this podcast. So once again, this is Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll see you tomorrow.